Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Good Tuesday morning. And welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you by a Happy State Bank alongside the one and only Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way taking care of us. You two can join us. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, residual reaction. All welcome from the 8th Flooring Center chat line.
That's my contribution today, Joyce, right there.
You sound like a bee.
Yeah, thank you.
Plenty to get into. Tech football. Of course, we'll talk some more Red Raiders from the weekend. We'll talk some more hoops as we prep for the big, let's see if I get this right, Big 12 Big East battle. Is that what we're calling this?
Who cares? It's something on the schedule.
Remember, they called it for a little bit the Scheduling Alliance.
The Scheduling Alliance.
The Big 12 Big East Scheduling Alliance. And then they finally tossed out Battle, I believe, is what they're calling it now. It's something on the schedule. You're right. Georgetown coming to town tomorrow evening. So we'll dive into that just a little bit. Coaching carousel is spinning. Lots of people going everywhere. Player carousel, it's spinning. Transfer portal season, big time. So our first Red Raider go in the portal. It's probably a guy you haven't heard the name of, so that's...
Yeah, I saw it and just kind of moved to the side. Yeah, okay.
So plenty on that front.
Lost a coach yesterday. Texas Tech coach.
Oh yes,
you know, see it.
Well, I was thinking you. I was thinking we were still in the football. I'm like, what?
Tennis coach.
Which assistant? Yeah, Danny Whitehead resigns. Odd timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I thought Todd Petty's was kind of odd, and then This one happens technically during the season or in between the two seasons, spring and fall and spring. So,
as the topic of mental health continues to be a much-needed conversation nationally, it's important to note that it affects people in all walks of life, including coaches. An excerpt from Danny Whitehead's resignation letter. Yep.
And then college football playoff possibilities. We'll dive into some of those as there's a lot of debate on who should take essentially spots number 3 and 4. Because 1 and 2 feel
like Georgia had a 99.9% chance of making it. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Is there a possibility that they can't, like, they get to lose 99-0?
I guess so.
In the SEC championship, like, I'm trying to think of any possibility where they don't get in.
Flu outbreak.
Okay. Flu outbreak. Okay.
Wouldn't that be something if you took those odds? I'm going to bet Georgia's not going to make the playoff, and they all say, oh, yeah, we're just too sick to play.
If anybody ever gives you 10,000-1 odds, take them.
Take it.
Take it. If John...
Man, I hope we kick the hell out of these Iranians today. I got that on my mind.
Iranians. Yeah, we got the World Cup going today, a chance to get to... Here goes me showing my American ignorance. Round of 16?
I don't know.
I think it goes to the round of 16 if the U.S. wins this afternoon against Iran. How's your day going so far?
Iranians.
You annoyed by that?
Yes.
How do you say the host country? My wife and I were going back on...
Qatar, gutter.
Guitar.
Guitar.
Guitar. Gutter, I heard like an actual guy say it because we searched it last night after we had the, she's like, it's Qatar. I'm like, it's Qatar. And apparently this guy goes like, Qatar,
Qatar,
Qatar. I'm like,
it's like you hit a speed bump with your mouth.
Qatar. He's like, technically in our language, these three letters don't exist in English. I'm like, okay, these three sounds don't even exist in English. I'm like, all right. Good to know.
So see we're
going
to
go with guitar.
Spencer Rattler's going to transfer again.
Do you see you're duped?
Is that really?
You got duped too.
Really?
Yes. I'm not the only one, because this morning I had written it down to talk about. I went to double check it. It was a fake account.
Boy.
Thanks, Elon. This is the worst part of Elon. I'm a fan of, you know, him.
Golly, man. Going it looked official.
It did look official. And that
I've been duped
so
on
easy.
The air before.
It's so easy. But, like, getting duped on Twitter is going to happen a lot nowadays. Right? I mean, I am right. Google the whole Spencer Rattler thing. I think that's how I discovered it this morning.
Okay. Don't worry about it. I got it.
No, I thought so, too. I thought he was going to end up in Nebraska. I'm like, whoa. That's interesting.
There's about 300 people that got duped, too, here.
Yeah. Oh, plenty. Yeah. Husker Corner. Fake Spencer Rattler tweet gets Husker fans fired up. Sorry, guys.
Seemed really plausible to me with the character of Spencer Rattler. Maybe he's changed.
Well, I think his former offensive coordinator, too, is now at Nebraska. So, looks like, speaking of coaching carousels and such, seems like Jimbo's going to keep his job, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he absolutely took that Maserati that he had down there and drove it straight into the ditch. He still gets to keep his job because they're paying the lease payments on the Maserati still. Can't afford it.
We need to stop rushing the field, period. Take it out.
Like everybody?
No more.
We,
armed
as
guards.
In Texas Tech, or everybody?
Armed guards set up.
Like across
perimeter.
The country, right?
Across,
not just talking Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm normally a let them have fun. Just go for it. You do you. But in general, yeah, I get it. We had another guy punch someone this weekend.
Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon punched an Oregon State fan. But again, you can't just say whatever you want either. I'm not condoning the actions, but it is funny how, you know, ballsy people get when they're down there. It's like, this guy is twice your size, and you're going to mouth off to him right after he just lost a close game. Brilliant idea. Brilliant. Again, violence isn't the right thing, but stupidity sometimes deserves what it gets. So I think I agree with you.
No more.
Just I don't know. It's so much fun. I get it.
It's done.
For why? Because of that happening?
Think of all the things that have happened this year alone.
What incidents am I missing?
We had one on your field.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a big one.
That had another one, and who knows what else didn't get captured on camera.
Sure, yeah. We're just talking about what's on camera. So, wow. Yeah? Okay. So, is Tech paying? Does Tech pay a fine every time the field is rushed or every time an incident happens when the field is rushed?
It's supposed to be every time you rush the field.
That's what I thought, but I don't ever see
it. We haven't seen this one.
The public. Yeah,
we haven't seen this one. The reprimand. Maybe that's a Tuesday thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be a Tuesday thing.
Tuesday reprimand day.
Gets around to it. All right. Plenty to get into. Hopefully the league office gets into, you know, gets around to throwing us a schedule. That'd be nice sometime in the next, I don't know, today or tomorrow. Be wonderful. But plenty to continue to get to. There's also an OU guy, fanboy. Person with a blue check mark that's accusing Tech of throwing batteries.
The
again.
Battery.
Battery gate.
10.
Yeah. Get to all of that. Still plenty to come. Got some headlines for you next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You hang with the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. He's Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way. It's time for a few headlines to get you on this Tuesday, November the 29th. Start off with Texas Tech football. It's an old boy named Trey Wolf. Back in the news and honored by the Big 12 as the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week. Not a ton of surprise here after he provided the game-winning field goal in overtime.
Don't forget, it was a couple years ago where we had an entire season blamed on missed field goals. So it feels good to have this guy win it three times. And sure, he's had some hiccups. He is not perfect, but that's pretty cool, winning that thing three times.
Three times, well, when you hit, I guess, two game-winning field goals and another one to send you to overtime to help you win the game, that helps pretty good. He has been as clutch as it gets. And that's coming off of a season where you had a clutch field goal kicker last year. Well, I guess a guy that didn't miss anything until the last kick
last
of the season.
Kick.
Yeah. In Garibay.
Wonder what he's doing at this moment. Old John Garibay.
Regretting his decision to go, probably, because...
Yeah, man.
I don't know. Is that Cowboys job was his.
Oh, it was wide open, wasn't it?
It was his to have, and he just couldn't take it. Went into a slump. And for field goal kickers, slumps mean you lose your job.
Slumps means you get dumped.
No doubt. But Trey Wolf, he's celebrating this week. Got three field goals. One expiring seconds of the first half. One to send you to overtime. All three were big kicks. I mean, really important big kicks. The overtime one, or one to send you to overtime, and then the one to hit it in overtime to win it for you. So, congrats to Trey Wolf, the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week.
Crabtree's never going to have to buy another drink in this town ever again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying on any way that Garibay is on that level. Don't get me wrong. But in 5 years, if he walks back on campus, does anybody know who he is?
He's got a pretty distinct look. So.
I know, but I think he might have to be wearing a name tag.
You beat Iowa State. So it's not like even Trey Wolf, who beat Texas and or helped beat.
But it did get you to a bowl.
Texas and, yeah, it did. I don't know. The average Joe, maybe not. I mean,
it's like the greatest. It's the longest kick in school history.
I mean, it was a bomb.
Yeah.
Awesome moment. Other good news for Texas Tech. Go to the basketball side of things. As Lady Raider Jasmine Shavers has been named Big 12 Freshman of the Week. Texas Tech may own this award this year with the freshmen they have and Shavers and Maupin. But she's fresh off her first 20-point performance, averaging 17.7 rebounds last week. Jasmine Shavers named the Big 12 Freshman of the Week by the conference. 21 points on Saturday in their win over the Mercer Bears. Not too shabby there. Maupin won the Big 12 Freshman of the Week award last week. Other headlines for you, Texas Tech. I lost my headlines. Texas Tech tennis coach Danny Whitehead has announced his resignation before the 2023 spring season. Michael Breeler has been tabbed as the interim head coach. You know, it's kind of weird to see this. Not Danny Whitehead himself, but Hex, for the longest time, your sports outside of the main ones had as much consistency as you're going to find anywhere at the head coaching positions. I mean, Tim Siegel was your tennis coach forever. That was really solid. Todd Petty was your women's tennis coach for a really long time. Tom Stone, still there. He's been in that for a long time. Wes Kitley's been in that role for a long time. Greg Sands has been in his role. JoJo Robertson's been in that role. You've had
Greystone's been there 7 years now.
Greystone, yeah. I guess volleyball is the one that you had a bunch of turnover in. But outside of volleyball, yeah, you didn't have really any. Now you're starting to see that. Really, since Tim Siegel left campus, you haven't had a ton of consistency there. Danny Whitehead is the third coach the second coach to leave since Tim Siegel, and Whitehead said he's leaving due to personal reasons. He says, "I'm blessed to have served as the head coach, tennis coach here at Texas Tech. It was a privilege to serve under the best athletics director in the country in Kirby Hocutt and work alongside a dedicated and supportive staff that has put our student athletes in the best position to excel each and every day. decision was based solely on what was best for me and my family.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to, is if you see tech administration saying nice things about this. So this is not one of those, I wonder what really happened situations.
Right. It's just, hey, it's taking up too much of my time. I've got to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Seems to be the case.
But so, I did see tech, you know, higher ups saying nice things about it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's not, I agree. It's not one of those what's being swept under the rug here thing. It's
or silly. There's two sides to every story too, that kind of deal.
Right. At least right now it's not the case. Who knows what could come out, but
well, I think
if you see
people like Gio saying nice things, then
yeah,
I think you're pretty clear of that.
So he'll be missed, but Tech will be on the hunt for a new coach, I would assume, after the spring season. Breeler will be the interim head coach for the time being. A couple of other headlines. We'll have some high school basketball on the airwaves for you this evening. Tune in to Double T 97.3 and 100.7 The Score. And World Cup today. Team USA versus Iran. Did I do it good enough?
That was perfect, man. Okay,
thank you. Been working on it. Playing in Qatar.
Qatar.
I think that's how you say it. That will be a 1 o'clock first touch this afternoon on the Big Fox. You can get us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your reaction, all welcome on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line.
Pat Mahomes got a new addition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bronze is what they're going to call him. I get it. He's Patrick Mahomes the third. So Bronze third. It's unique. Bronze Mahomes. Think Joey's extended the offer yet?
Not quite.
Not quite? Okay.
Have to let him get home first, I think.
Didn't Tom Stone give the daughter really fast?
He did.
On the soccer team.
It's a wise move.
I love it. I mean, it's fun stuff.
He's getting busy. He's a busy guy.
Getting busy. Oh, Patrick. I saw in the post-game press conference on Sunday evening. He's like, I hope we haven't had the kid yet. He's not in the press conference. It was on the field after the game. He's like, I hope we hadn't had the kid yet. We'll see. Gonna be here soon.
No kidding.
Texas Tech has played more games than any team in the country against ranked opponents this year.
Yeah, 6.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Strength of schedule 5 in the country. Number 5. I think TCU still got number 1 strength of record. Those are two different things, but in the same category. But Tech, along with about 5 or 6 other schools, has played 5 or 6 games against ranked opponents. All right, a few from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. If guys go in the portal potty now, do they still get bowl swag if Tech wins? I do not believe that's the case. And you don't get bowl swag.
Hey, I forgot about the portal potty, man.
Portal potty. Do we have a sounder for that?
Yeah, we got the toilet flush.
All right. Portal potty. Yeah, it's got to ramp back up today. All right, that's got to be.
Got to bring that back.
Yeah, I think so.
Golly, thank you.
So
forgot about that.
Bowl swag, no. Bowl swag isn't given to teams that win. It's given to everybody that goes to the bowl game. And
you
no.
show up, and usually it's in your hotel room.
Yeah, they're not going to get it if they don't. If they're going in the portal right now, they're not going to the bowl game. So,
man, I wish I would have gotten the ring business.
It's a lot of rings out there.
Everybody gets a ring now.
Yeah, you get a ring. Tavares Elston Jr., by the way, the Red Raider, first Red Raider to enter the portal, at least publicly. So, again, you probably haven't heard his name or. Never heard much from him. A whole lot on the chat line. Dive into some of your thoughts. Take a look at the calendar coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
100.7 The Score. 107thescore.com and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. alongside Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman.
Alec.
Alec is it. Yes, thank you on the chat line. Don't know how we forgot that. It's not like we forget the person. It's just like...
I could see him.
You just hit a black...
Like, you hear him.
There's a black hole there sometimes. Because like, I can name guys that I worked with 10 years ago here. But shout out Ryan Brown. It was way before your time. But yeah, that's crazy. Just your brain goes to mush sometimes. Alec. He was the wee guy for sure. I definitely remember that. Oh, he came up with some funky questions too on the
burning questions.
Well, no, he was in the afternoon at the bottom line, so he had take versus take.
Oh yeah.
He had some fun ones. All right, so the college football playoff hacks. We will learn who's in on Sunday. Also get to learn Texas Tech's bowl fate, which all signs point to Orlando. Have seen the couple out there that have you in the Alamo Bowl. I guess the one scenario that would Tech would play in the Alamo Bowl would be if Texas is like, hey, we played here a couple of years ago. We really want to go out of the state. Or I guess there's a second scenario where the Big 12's like, screw you, Texas. You're leaving us. Tech, we're going to let you pick your bowl
game. I don't think that happens.
I don't think so either. I think it's more likely the first, where I guess if Texas was like, yeah, we'd really rather, you know, make this more of a destination trip and go to Orlando, then you would flip-flop with them. But, again, almost all signs point towards Texas Tech playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. We'll find out officially on Sunday, which we also find out the college football playoff. The top two teams seem like you can chisel those, right? Without
yes.
any question, that's Georgia and Michigan.
Yeah,
they right. can lose in their conference championship games.
Still in.
And they're going to be in. The next two are the ones that are rather curious. TCU, who's one of the three undefeateds. They're not getting talked about like Georgia and Michigan, but they're one of the three undefeateds. And USC is the fourth team right now. Those are the ones that are projected for your Peach Bowl and your Fiesta Bowl and the college football playoff semifinals. What happens if TCU loses? That's the big question. If TCU were to lose to Kansas State, which, have you seen a line on that game? I will hunt one down.
3 is what I saw.
3. So very, it's plausible.
Oh, yeah.
USC plays Utah, by the way, a second time, the one team that beat them this year.
The one thing that this really reminds me of, Joyce, now it's a different conference now, but it was the year that K-State had its best team,
mm-hmm.
went in undefeated. Now, they went in as a large favorite and lost to Texas A&M. There go your hopes
yep.
for a national championship. K-State may have a chance. That was in Dallas, too, if I recall, that Big 12 championship game when you had South-North divisions. I don't see a way they get in if they lose. I just don't. The requirement of the Big 12, if you're not OU in Texas, isn't this weird?
That's what we've been told.
Isn't this
what
weird?
We know?
That yeah. This is. I think it's the case.
Well, we may get to find it out. We may get. To
we
see.
May get to test it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
is you have to be perfect to get in?
If you're not, or everybody else has to have 2 losses. I mean, that's
yeah.
That would be it. So what we would essentially see.
You know they want to get Ohio State in there
they would
over
love
TCU.
To have Ohio State in there, and that's who's knocking on the door right now. 11-1 Ohio State. They lost their only game to Michigan. So, what about the scenario of USC and TCU losing? Does TCU hang around then, or does 10-2 Alabama get in?
Oh man, I tell you what, I'll just
or does 10-2 Tennessee get
throw
in?
My they can't get in
after the South
they
Carolina
can't
game.
Get in get out of here with the Volunteers. Don't belong.
But, no, which, so what would your prediction be? If TCU and USC both lost?
TCU.
You think TCU yep. would get in over a two-loss Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the right thing, but if I was a TCU fan, I'd be holding my breath. I would. I think I agree with you in all those scenarios. Michigan and Georgia can go lose this weekend, and they're just fine. No surprise. Big name, big name, big conference, big conference. I guess the one scenario for both of those is if they lose by 50. Because that's the one catch, right, that we've had in this whole college football playoff. Remember, it felt like, was it TCU that was penciled in? TCU, right? I think they were in the fourth spot in 2016. And then Ohio State goes and beats Wisconsin 59-0 in the conference championship game and leapfrogs.
Yep.
TCU. So that's I guess there is still possibility with enormous results in these conference championship games because we've seen that happen once. But if you have an enormous result in the wrong direction for a blue blood, probably won't matter. Probably. It's such a fascinating setup that we have because, again, I'll say this probably once a week for the rest of till 2024. You have four teams playing for five Power Five conference spots. Something doesn't fit there. So it makes it interesting, but it's still stupid because you should easily have five. So in this scenario, the winner of the one that I'm outlining, if you had five spots, an ACC team would get in and doesn't feel very deserving this year. A Clemson, or I guess they played North Carolina in their conference championship game. Conference champions. I think when we get to a 12-team scenario, Hax, what's going to be interesting in that conference championship week, much like we get in college basketball, is the bid stealers. Like, because Kansas State, if they were to win this weekend, they would go take that spot in the Big 12, and then you'd have to have TCU in there, and there would be bid stealers that would be kind of interesting. Or North Carolina, if they beat a Clemson. So, my guess is that one of those two teams is going to lose this weekend. TCU or USC. Make it interesting. I'm kind of hoping for both just to see what happens. I like turmoil. But we'll see.
Drama.
Drama's what I'm rooting for. Plenty more on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from you. Hax has the highs and lows. He'll bring us those next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for a few headlines. What you need to know, part of the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. He's Jeff Haxton. I'm Choice Woodman. Jackson Frazier behind the glass. Hax will start off with, the non-sports news. Jackson just sent me a movie poster for Cocaine Bear. It says inspired by true events. I feel like Jackson's trying to punk me. Is Ashton over there?
No.
Okay.
No,
is
love
this a real thing?
Where's Ashton?
I'm pretty sure it is because I've heard about it before seeing that.
Okay, what is the premise of a movie called Cocaine Bear?
I think it's a bear hopped up on cocaine.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I do remember hearing a story about that where a bear got into some cocaine and went crazy. And this turning this into a movie? Yep, rated R, 2023.
Have y'all heard about like the action Christmas movie?
Action Christmas movie?
It's called Violent Night.
I have seen that.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like Santa's like with a sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the advertisements for that. One more bit of sad news to pass along. This one hurts. Ranger Trevette has died from Walker, Texas Ranger. Also in Die Hard. Also in Top Gun as the guy who replaces Goose.
That's who I had pictured, but
Clarence Gilliard Jr. dies at the age of 66. Oh. No cause of death given right now. But dang it. Ranger Trivette. It's one of my heroes growing up. All right, some other headlines for you, sports-ish related. Let's start off with the coaching carousel tracker. The latest firing, Marcus Arroyo.
Yeah.
From UNLV.
It's a tough job.
When do we stop seeing firings? And head coach-wise? Because I know A&M fired their offensive coordinator yesterday. Head coaches, it's got to cut off probably today or tomorrow, right? You'd think. Like, I mean, if you get beyond like Wednesday of the week, it's like, what are you waiting on?
Yeah.
I mean, because you should know whether you're going to fire someone or not, for the most part.
Not everybody's got to take the Texas Tech route, you know.
No, you're right. You're right. But Arroyo at UNLV went 7-23 in three seasons with the Rebels. You're right. Tough job.
Tough job. But
it's one that's been pretty rough. The one that maybe has been overshadowed quite a bit is David Shaw.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like how good they were early in his time at Stanford? Shaw has a 96-54 record.
Yeah, really good.
In 12 seasons with the program. But he's gone 6-16 in the last two seasons. Mm. So he, and that one wasn't necessarily a firing. He stepped down. So we'll take that for whatever
mutual.
It's worth. Mutual-ish. But, yeah, so that's the latest in the... There's a lot of jobs that have not officially been filled. Well, one today filled, Hugh Freeze going to Auburn. But Colorado hadn't been filled. Georgia Tech.
So they offered that to Deion.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
That's what the word is.
So, well, Georgia Tech and Colorado have not officially been filled. Those were two that were fired very early in the season, or early on, I should say. South Florida's still open. Stanford, obviously, still open.
This
Cincinnati's still open.
Here's a quote from Deion. It's a quick one. Deion Sanders on the Colorado head coach offer, quote, "The report is true," end quote.
That they offered. Okay.
Yeah. Colorado Buffaloes offered him. I think that's smart. I would hire Deion in a heartbeat.
Right now, for sure.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Undefeated,
he didn't end up
by the way.
At TCU last year. Undefeated, yep. Man, he and he's like basically a brand that goes wherever he goes when it comes to recruiting. Like you have brands you recruit to. He's his own brand where, man, I want to go play for Deion. Deion. Headlines for you. Trey Wolf named Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week after hitting three pretty important field goals. Hit one at the expiration of the first half. Hit one at the expiration of regulation and the expiration of the game in overtime. Three clutch field goals. I was thinking, did he hit all three with zeros on the clock? No. One of them had 3 seconds left on the clock. But still, that's pretty crazy. Two of them had no time on the clock and one with 3 seconds left.
Did you see Kevin McCullough didn't play last night for Rock Chalk?
Injury-wise?
Don't know.
Ooh. Already trouble? I hope so. Sorry. That's not good to root against kids, but they're not kids. They're rich. They're professional athletes at this point. Another one for the Lady Raider basketball team. Jasmine Shavers named Big 12 Freshman of the Week after her good week in Las Vegas, including a career-high 21 points in the win over Mercer. So congratulations to Jasmine Shavers. She is the second Lady Raider in as many weeks to win Big 12 Freshman of the Week. Bailey Maupin won it last week. High school basketball on the airwaves for you tonight. Friendship and Monterey. I believe that Monterey girls basketball team is ranked number one in the state. I believe that's the case. They'll play at Monterey tonight at 6 o'clock. Boys about 7:30, both on Double T 97.3. Lovett Cooper doubleheader will be Idaloo in the girls game at 6 o'clock and then Seminole in the boys game at 7:30. You can hear those games here on 100.7. The score. Danny Whitehead has resigned from his position as the Texas Tech men's tennis coach. So Coach Whitehead cites family, mental health, those sorts of things, saying he just wants to spend more time with the family and got to respect the decision there. So Breeler will take over as the interim head coach. And don't forget, T-minus about a buck and a half, hour and a half, till, do they call it a kickoff? Or just going first touch?
First touch.
First touch for the World Cup. USA versus Iran today at 1 o'clock. This is a, as I understand it, it's a win or go home scenario. I don't know if ties can get you through or not, but win or go home for U.S. against Iran. You two can join us. Those thoughts, the comments, the questions, all welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Someone said, doesn't mean trouble for McCuller. He just injured a lot. Doubt it's a DNP coach's decision. But he'll miss plenty with injuries, I bet. Suck it, KU! Texter's words, not mine. But I echo them.
Yeah.
Groin injury, apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
For McCuller.
And it begins.
Man. I'm trying to think. I don't know that there's an individual I've rooted harder against since Baker Mayfield than Kevin McCuller. It's like, guys transfer, and then some you're like, man, I really wish he wouldn't have. Or, man, wish you the best. There's only been two instances.
Like Josh Mbala playing for Alabama all
right,
of a sudden.
Right, yeah. But there's only, like, even Namari Burnett. I'm like, man, it sounded like he had some bad people in his ear.
Yep.
Hope he has success elsewhere. But there's people I'm like, man, two people. It's been Baker Mayfield and Kevin McCuller where I'm like, I don't want you to have success. I hope you crash and burn when it comes to that. It doesn't happen often, but that's the one. You went to the team that is a rival, and you can call them whatever, but it's a Big 12 opponent. I guess technically you could throw Avery Benson in there, but you knew he wasn't going
to
play.
Yeah. Remember when they put him out there he hadn't played in four.
I do
4 weeks,
that.
And they put him out there in the first half.
Yep. 100%.
Didn't quite work out.
Win or go home. Someone helped me out. Thank you. Someone said, would you hire Dion if McGuire left this year?
Yes.
Don't put that kind of juju out there, but I think I would. I think Dion would be a smart hire at this point for anybody, especially now that they're the questions of like NIL out there. Like, that's not a problem when it comes to paying players or anything like that. It's legal.
There was a time where if you had Dion as your coach, you'd be trying to hide him.
Right.
Now you'd be pushing him out there right at the front. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Front step of the athletic program.
All right. Plenty more to dive into. I want to get to some basketball. Looking ahead towards the Hoyas. Patrick Ewing coming to town tonight. Red Raiders and Hoyas tomorrow. So we'll talk some basketball coming up next. Still plenty of room for your questions. Ask the Benchwarmers. About 20 minutes away, so get those questions in. It's the end of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That's right. It is time for Ask the Benchwarmers. Hit us up. Your questions, your comments. Oh, welcome. Questions in particular right now. On the Yates Flooring Center chat line, call us up on the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can tweet us at 107thescore. All right, let's start with this one. Hacks. Do you know where the question went?
Somewhere along the chat line.
It's in there. I know it. I saw it. Hacks, do you still get starstruck, or do you get starstruck when you see guys like Patrick Ewing up close?
No. Mm-mm.
Have you ever?
Yeah, when I was in my mid-20s and going to some of these places for the first time, because there was a pretty, abrupt turn in my professional life when you were doing Class C, Class B, Class A high school basketball.
Sure.
To Division I and going to some big places and playing big teams, because you always need to pay games and that sort of thing. So, yeah. A little bit of that. probably more starstruck with the announcer Field, now Piers, you would say, but you know, seeing some of those guys out, that would
sure,
but not anymore.
No Ewing though. That'll do it for you.
The Ewing shadow. I've told that story before, where he walked by and this huge shadow cast over me. I was like, what could that have been? And I was like, oh,
it's an airplane. Oh,
it's Patrick Ewing going by. That was about 2007 or 8 when that happened. So
Eric on Wheels asks, will Kevin McCullough expect a warm welcome back to Lubbock when they play here?
I don't think so.
I think you know the answer to that, Eric. Maybe. I don't know.
I think Chris Beard did.
He expected one. You're right. He really, like, how was he so shocked? I don't think he was shocked by the time it happened, but he was shocked by the lead up. It's like, really? Do you know what I did for you? McCullough, I think, I would guess, maybe he's very dense and doesn't understand what's coming, but he saw that environment when Chris Beard came back. So I'm thinking he will know.
Jumping around and having fun in it.
What he's walking into. Who knows? He may have a groin injury when that happens.
Yeah.
So like, he may not participate.
Choice may run over his ribs in a pickup game.
You know, you would think the competitive fire would be there to want to, but that then he transfers to Kansas and you wonder if there's any competitive fire.
It's all about the money, boys.
Well, or parents. Benchwarmers, top three rappers of all time. You know what show you're asking?
Tupac, 1. Eminem, 2. Biggie, 3. You can tell how old I am.
Yeah, mine are all going to be in that range. Jay-Z, I'm not putting them in order. Jay-Z, Eminem, and probably Pac. I'd probably put Tupac there.
Jackson, Flags, and Waxing?
The same as Hacks, but switch out Biggie for Lil Wayne. So Tupac, Eminem, Lil Wayne.
Okay. Y'all aren't Jay-Z fans? Where's the other question? I do want to ask Jamie's question that he used today. Who on the football team most outperformed your expectations and who underperformed to your expectations for them this year?
Okay. All the tight ends underperformed. I think Taj Brooks underperformed for the hype that we were giving him in the summer months.
Okay.
I'm not saying he was bad, but I think he underperformed what our expectations were. Overperformed Trey Wolf.
That's a good one.
I thought Sir Roderick overperformed what we were thinking for him. And Tony Bradford and Jalen Hutchings.
Man, those two really good for you.
And then Tyree Wilson, you know.
Well, I mean, you could even say he overperformed. Like, there were high expectations coming in, but I don't think people thought he'd be a first round or high first round draft pick like he's projected. I would go. I think I go Krishan Merriweather as overperformed. Like, I expect him to be decent, but it's almost like at that linebacker spot, you haven't missed a beat. And Eldridge deserves some credit there, too.
Yeah.
But Merriweather, being a top three tackler in the Big 12, didn't see that coming. I think tight end room was where I'd go on underperform. And I'm not sure it's all their fault. I don't know if it's scheme or quarterback's not looking their way, or maybe it is their fault. I don't know. I'm not diving in deep enough, but tight ends is probably where I'd go. Both the top two and Tharp and Kupp. I expected them to catch more passes this year than they have. Viva 73 asks, will the special teams coach be back next year? I thought he did a really poor job of coaching the special teams. Well, Kenny Perry's your running backs coach, but he's also your special teams coordinator, and I think is your assistant head coach. So there's a lot to that. He's not going anywhere. I thought special teams was average. I wouldn't say poor, personally. Average. Because you know what's included on average? I mean, in special teams, your kicker, Trey Wolf, who did fantastic for you.
Won you some games this year. Yeah.
McNamara finally settled in last five games or so when they said, you know, we're going to let him just let loose and hit bombs. He finally started to hit some bombs. He still probably had a few more of the shanks than you would hope for, but I think McNamara is still top 15 in the country on his net punting. When you go there, so it's hard to say that that's a bad performance special teams wise. So, yeah,
you know, early you did some dumb things in your special teams. Yeah. You know, you caught some punts inside the four and made decisions to bring footballs out when you shouldn't have. And I think some of that got shored up.
This question: Benchwarmers, offensive MVP and defensive MVP for Tech football this year. Defensive, I think you got to go Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, he affected so much in the game. Is there a clear-cut offensive MVP for you? Because you shuffled through quarterbacks, and that's usually kind of who you go with. Your running backs were back and forth. No receiver stood out above the rest. Do you pick an offensive lineman?
No.
I honestly, I don't know.
Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith. I mean, he did it all for you.
Caught one.
He helped win some
threw
games.
Threw one.
He
rushed one.
Beat Texas. That's a tough one.
Your third string quarterback
is
your
tough
MVP?
One.
That is a tough question.
Because I don't know that. Like, usually there's a year where it's like, this is your best offensive player. Last year.
Does that say something that you won seven games and we can't identify even close offensive MVP?
I think you could take it two different directions. You could say, well, you're really balanced on offense, or you could take it the other direction and say, hey, you had no superstar.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He still won seven games.
Yeah. I think it does say something. But last year, I mean, who's your best player offensively? Putting you on the spot here, but. Like, who's your, you got to get the ball in his hands. Play for the Dolphins.
The receiver?
Eric Ezekama, right? I mean, it's pretty.
Keyshawn Carter.
Keyshawn Carter. A couple years back. But, like, most years.
Jet could, Duffy.
Most years you could point to a guy and say, that's your best player on offense. He's the one you need to have the ball in the hands. This year, I just don't think you had one. Hopefully you can add to that. What you need next year, hopefully bowl game, is Bradley to become a consistent player. He showed flashes this year. Someone said, how can you call Donovan Smith the third string quarterback? Who called him that?
I did. It was a little tongue-in-cheek.
Well, no, right now he would be.
Thank you. Yes.
Technically, he is your third string quarterback. In terms of going every snap, he would be your third option. I believe Barron was ready the last game, so that's how you look at it. I don't know. But he's also your utility guy that can do anything you ask and the best teammate on the team. So we'll probably see some more of that bowl time.
Hope so.
That's it for us. Appreciate all the thoughts, comments, questions. Someone mentioned Nehemiah Martinez. He was a big piece for you.
Yeah. Overachieved.
Too. Yep. It's a good one. For Jeff Axton, Jackson Frazier, I'm Choice Woodman. You've been tuned in to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score. Y'all hang around. We've got the bottom line headed your way next.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.